Hello, and I'm Dee Dee, Dust Daughter on Twitter, and I'm here with Melissa, who is Black Girl Geeky on Twitter.
Hello.
And we're here to talk about Lucille Clifton and talk about how much we love her work. We were trying to do this for Black History Month. being black, we were a little bit late for that, so we can still do it for Women's History Month. Anyways, so just a little bit of information about Lucille Clifton, in case you're not familiar. She was a great poet that was born in 1936 in Depew, New York. She went to my alma mater, Howard University, in 1953, but she ended up graduating from the State University of New York at Fredonia. After college, she worked as a clerk in state and federal government positions, and then finally got a writer in residence job at Coppin State, which is an HBCU in Baltimore, and started writing books of poetry. She married Fred Clifton and had six children, two sons and four daughters. She was a Pulitzer Prize finalist for two of her books, and was also named Poet Laureate for the state of Maryland. So, unfortunately, she passed away in February of 2010, but her work still lives on, and we're just going to celebrate that in this episode. So, Melissa, tell me what you, when did you first get introduced to Lucille Clifton's work?
I was in high school and I was involved in this after school poetry group. And they took us to a reading at a local private college, Marygrove College. It was local to me because it was in my neighborhood. But I hadn't heard of her until I went. So I went through, like, I think a couple of phases when I first heard her. Like all through one reading. Yeah, I was introduced to her in high school.
Cool. So yeah, I saw on Instagram you had a book signed by Lucille Clifton, dedicated to Sarah.
Yeah. Here's the thing. One of my favorite memories because. And now I'm wondering if I remember it right, because I think I thought I saw her more than once. I could have swore I did, because the first time I saw her, I was like, okay, you're real quiet, you know? Okay, because I was used to slam poetry. So you go from slam poetry to Lucille Clifton, and you're like,
Yeah.
well, this is for adults. And then I started actually listening and reading, and I was like, oh shit, this is pretty great. And so I remember going through something I was standing in line for with this book, and I could remember her signing it. And so I'm super excited. I'm like, I'm gonna get out my signed copy of Quilting because I've met Lucille Clifton. I think she even said some words to me. And then I see for Sarah, and now it questions my whole memory. Like, did I even meet? Did I just find this book somewhere? I mean, you know, I don't remember buying it used. And I would think that if I did buy it used, I would have bought it. It would cost me more than I would pay for a used book because it has Lucille Clifton's autograph in it.
Yeah.
So now I'm just wondering if she thought I said Sarah when I said my name.
Aww.
There's to find out now.
Aww. Oh, I don't know what to
Yeah.
say. I don't know what to say.
I don't know. I'm sure, Sarah, I hope I didn't steal your book. That is another possibility, not gonna lie.
And your middle name's
It's
not
mine
Sarah.
now though, so sorry. Watch your shit, man.
Oh, goodness. So that's a good point. You started with started doing getting into slam poetry, and then kind of got into Lucille Clifton, and that's kind of like night and day. So what is it about her poems that got you interested in them?
Well, they just seemed about everyday things. And it was kind of that feeling of, I realized I didn't have every poem I wrote didn't have to be explosions and, your blood in the sky. I don't, it doesn't have to be hyperbole all the time. Poets are ordinary people. And that's what really struck me about her. And then when I read her stuff, it's just this whole also, I want to say, and I just figured it out just now. I thought that Alice Walker was my like beginning of womanist type deal, but it was actually Lucille Clifton. So epiphanies. Because it's like her stuff read, that's like my favorite thing about it. It's She's a woman poet. Like that's I have my favorite collection of hers is Good Woman, Poems and a Memoir.
Yes, I have it. Yeah.
I love it. It has to be one of the only books. Because here's the thing, I'm a used book buyer. It's what I do. Bought this at the store. Like the sticker. I think it was at Borders when Borders was still a thing.
Yeah.
I took my little money because I made $20 a week at my poetry thing, and I bought this big ass Lucille Clifton book because I knew that I wanted it, and I have no regrets.
'Cause it's got all of these other little poetry books inside of it. It's like a Clifton primer. It's awesome. Yeah, I've got Good Woman and Blessing the Boats, which is another collection that has what does it has poems from quilting. It has poems from Book of Light, new poems and poems from Next and other stuff. So yeah, yeah, I like her poetry. It's quiet. And it's contained, it's really like tight, you know, that you she managed to manages to say a lot in very few words. And it kind of would you it seems simple, but it's really complex. The more you read it and the more you think about some poems, you're like, oh, wait a minute, I thought I knew what she was saying there, but now I'm not so sure. So you go and reread and just enjoy the language. Some of the metaphors that she uses are really cool. I like the humor in some of her poems. It's kind of like sly and like, kind of shady kind of humor. I like the way that she starts some of her poems, like really conversationally. Like she has a poem called Poem to My Uterus, where I guess she's talking about going through the change. And the first line is, Well, girl, goodbye.
I'll be looking for that poem now.
No, to my last period. That's what it is. That's the
Okay,
name of
okay.
it. Yeah, to my last period. It's in quilting. Well, girl, goodbye. After 38 years in you, never arrived, splendid in your red dress, without trouble for me, somewhere, somehow. Now it is done, and I feel just like the grandmothers who, after the hussy is gone, sit holding her photograph and sighing, "Wasn't she beautiful? Wasn't she beautiful?" I just love that you could almost hear a woman say, "Just well, girl, goodbye."
Man, I
Just.
don't know how I missed this poem before.
Awesome.
This is everything I love about Lucille Clifton.
It's just it's not some big, fancy metaphor for anything. She's just straight talking talking to it like, "Girl, goodbye."
It's like, well.
Just weary. Just done. Just completely done. Oh.
And you could just like stand. I think this really is one of the great things about her that I love. You could just, it's not performance. You don't have to like run all over the stage or get real loud.
Yeah.
It's quiet performance. It's just like you could just stand there and let the poem is the entire thing.
Yeah, just speak for itself. Yeah. Even when she has like the her angry poems, like her really pissed off ones, like she has one called Wishes for Sons, and it starts off, "I wish them cramps. I wish them a strange town and the last tampon." "I wish them no 7-Eleven." "I wish them 1 week early and wearing a white skirt." "I wish them 1 week late." "Later, I wish them hot flashes and clots like you wouldn't believe. Let the flashes come when they meet someone special. Let the clots come when they want to. Let them think they have accepted arrogance in the universe. Then bring them to gynecologists not unlike themselves." That is a read.
Wow.
That is kind of sort of a read. A strange town and the last tampon. That's cold. That's
Man.
cold, Lucille.
Oh. That white skirt thing happens. Like,
Yes.
it may not even just be a skirt. Oh, man.
The week early and the week late. The twice in a month, yeah. All of that.
I mean, I'd like to get to the point one day where I feel like, those people that are just, they celebrate their periods. It's just every, it's good. I think I know I read it in Cunt where it was just your periods, this wonderful thing. Da, 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 da. I hope I can get there one day, but until then, I will have these Lucille Clifton poems.
Yes, and I will be feeling like this. Yes, I don't know. Nah, I think I'm gonna be saying that last period poem when I finally go through the change. I'm gonna be like, "Well, girl, goodbye." Just goodbye, be gone. But yeah, just they all seem kind of quiet and gentle, even the angry ones, but they're not. Like, those last two I read, those are not really very gentle once you listen to or just figure out exactly what she's saying. But she has some really sweet poems too, like the poems that she writes for children, or about children, are really, really sweet. Like I got tears in my eyes just reading or rereading On the Birth of Bomani. That was a really pretty one. "We have taken the best leaves and the best roots, and your mama, whose skin is the color of the sun, has opened into a fire, and your daddy, whose skin is the color of the night, has tended it carefully with his hunter's hands, and here you have come, Bomani, an African treasure man. May the art and the love that made you fill your fingers. May the love and the art that made you fill your heart."
sweet.
That is so sweet. And you can understand why she wrote so many children's books, because she seemed to really just have a deep love for children. I mean, she had six of her own. So, but yeah. She wrote some really pretty poems for children. But yeah, she just, I don't know, she's just everything. She's just everything. She could just, she could just make you cry or make you feel angry, like, yeah, let's go. And is just, but all just speaking very simply. She never used a whole bunch of fancy words or anything like that, but she got really right to the heart of an emotion with a poem. And just she was just amazing. I liked, like, well, speaking of angry poems, I liked her. Yeah, she definitely was a feminist. I mean, if you look at poems like Harriet and To Miss Anne, I mean, those still register today. So, I mean, you can still read To Miss Anne and be like, you know, hear all of these so-called feminists that are calling for unity and stuff like that. Read this and figure out why I can't trust you, you know? This is why I can't trust a certain sort of feminists, because, you know, just read that poem and you might understand. So, I don't know. I've read a lot of poems that I wasn't, I broke my own rule. I was only going to read like a handful of poems I had already picked out, but I already read like three or four. So go ahead, read some of your favorites.
Okay. My first favorite was her love poem. Let me see. Because Good Woman is like comprised of so many different poems, I just figure they're all in Good Woman. But it'd probably be good to actually have a book that it's actually from. So it's from I Agree with the Leaves. It's around the poems about, because she does also some poems about the goddess Kali, which I fell so much in love with that I made that my Facebook name for some time. Okay, so her love poem. This is one of my favorites. And it's also one of her angry ones. Okay. Demon, demon, you have dumped me in the middle of my imagination, and I am dizzy with spinning from nothing to nothing. It is all your fault, poet, fat lover of weak women, and I intend to blame you for it. I will have you in my head any way I can, and it may be love you or hate you, but I will have you. Have you. I love the anger and the darkness and the obsession of the piece. Like those are, she puts all of that in the compact, you know, it's all in there. And that's it. It is what it is. It reminds me of Nina Simone singing I Put a Spell on You. And the part where she goes, I don't care if you don't want me, I'm yours right now. Like
And she does
that's
all that with 10 lines.
and I love it. Another favorite goes back to the Kali part. I wasn't aware of the goddess Kali or that there was, because I mean a black god, like she's dark, so I won't say black, like you know, black American. I felt the need to clarify that. I don't know why. Chances are, if you're listening, you know that Kali is not a black American god, so. Just in case you want.
Just for clarity.
Good for clarity. Don't come back fact checking me. All right. So this one's The Coming of Kali. It is the black god Kali, a woman god and terrible with her skulls and breasts. I am one side of your skin, she sings. Softness is the other. You know me well, she sings. You know me well. Running Kali off is hard. She is persistent with her black, terrible self. She knows places in my bones I never sing about, but she knows I know them well. She knows. I love all of the Kali poems, but though that one's my favorite. They all have a sense of creepiness isn't the right word, but it is. It's kind of spooky in a way. There's like this destructive force that's also yourself. It's complicated.
I feel like she was trying to like deal with her cancer. It's like her, mm-hmm. She's talking to death or talking to her cancer or whatever, and like trying to negotiate. So, she had a lot of poems like that where she talks about illness and trying to get more time and that stuff. Mm-hmm. So, those Kali poems do have a like, this impending kind of doom quality to them, and like she's either running away from it or trying to make a deal with it.
So like the most present in the next one, She Insists on Me, is like right after the Kali. Did you want me to read it or?
Yeah.
She Insists on Me. I offer my little sister up. No, she says, no, I want you, fat poet with dead teeth. She insists on me. My daughters promise things. They pretend to be me, but nothing fools her. Nothing moves her. And I end up pleading, woman, woman, I am trying to make a living here. Woman, woman, you are not welcome in these bones. Woman, woman, please. But she walks past words and insists on me.
Oh, man.
I know.
Couldn't you just have waited a little while longer, Kali? Just stop insisting. Just let us have Lucille a little longer. Anyway.
I had another one because I wanted to end it on a happier note, even though, like I said, her darker poems are one of my favorites, and I don't know why. I think it's just because of how, again, how much she puts in there. And it almost, that one reminded me of like, almost like a folklore where they're trying to trick the trickster.
Yeah.
It won't work.
She's like, nope, I see through all of that.
So this last one, to make my favorite points end on a happier note, is What the Mirror Said.
Oh, I love that one.
Huh?
I love that one.
I love it more than Homage to My Hips.
I don't understand. Is that not one of her hits? Or if it's not, why isn't it? But anyway, go ahead.
What the Mirror Said. Listen, you a wonder, you a city of a woman. You got geography of your own. Listen, somebody need a map to understand you. Somebody need directions to move around you. Listen, woman, you not a no place, anonymous girl. Mister with his hands on you, he got his hands on some damn body.
Yes! I feel like snapping in Z formation and stuff. Yes!
Oh my gosh.
He got his hands on some damn body. Love it.
That one. I liked her homage pieces like that to her body, because what she also didn't shy away from her poems was referring to herself as fat, as who she was. It's just so much, you know.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that, you know, how much do my hips start off with? These hips are big hips. Like, having big hips and being in high school is ridiculous. Like, God's little joke. So it was important to have poems like that to just, when I was feeling down, and even after high school when I was feeling down, I could go back, and it's almost like it's yelling at you to stop that shit in your head. So I love Lucille Clinton.
Yeah, like you're not wrong. Whatever they're saying out there is wrong. These hips are big hips. They need space to move around in. So back off, give me space. Oh, there's yeah, and one what's that one that I liked? That's right around in there. That reminded me of Song at Midnight, which is right around, I think, I want to say it's right around those poems, but I could be wrong. Anyway, it starts off with this quote from Sonia Sanchez: "Do not send me out among strangers. Brothers, this big woman carries much sweetness in the folds of her flesh. Her hair is white with wonderful. She is rounder than the moon and far more faithful. Brothers, who will hold her? Who will find her beautiful if you do not?" So much with so very few words. So is she talking about herself in this poem, or is she talking about Sonia, or I guess she's talking about herself. I she just maybe she just put that quote in because that's what inspired her. But yeah, she's not trying to, I guess she's not down with the swirl. Is what she's
And
saying.
that's all I was waiting to say. I was like, I don't know. It seems like, oh my God. So much.
She's like, "I'm not down with it. If y'all don't find it beautiful, then I guess I'm just SOL." If you don't want this, you're missing out on some sweetness, but okay. But yeah,
I mean, another way it could be taken is that, you know, there's a way to, because I don't know her head.
yeah, and that's the thing. She did. I don't know about her interviews. I didn't get the idea that she did a lot of interviews, and that the ones that she did were not very like in depth. Like she wasn't the kind of person that liked to talk a lot about herself.
Because, I mean, another way of reading that is, you know, I'm not saying that you have to date, marry me, but acknowledge.
Yeah, recognize.
Yeah, I
This is
mean,
good
and that
stuff.
can be said today. Like, stop beating black women up. Like, stop that shit.
Yeah.
So, if Lucille Clifton had found Twitter, she
Man.
all these memes will piss her the fuck off.
Oh my gosh. If
Oh,
they
can I
had.
swear? I'm sorry. I've been.
No, yeah, go ahead. I mean, if. Yeah, I kind of wish you were still here to, like, see people like, Lupita and. Just all of these actors and actresses, and yeah, but yeah, she wouldn't have time for social media. All of these like bite-sized bits of information and stuff like that. I mean, oh, but she would probably write the best Twitter poems.
Yes, I could see that. Oh my God, that'd have been so great.
Yeah. Yeah, the best Twitter stories or something like that. She would have revolutionized the form. But Yeah, she wouldn't. But all this, yeah, fuckboy behavior, yeah. And all those fuckboy philosophies, she would not have time for it. It would have been awesome. She would have written great poems about it, though.
Definitely.
Ah, man. Speaking of poems, I wanted to read My Dream About the Poet. A man, I think it is a man, sits down with wood. I think he's holding wood. He carves. He is making a world, he says, as his fingers cut citizens, trees, and things, which he perceives to be a world. But someone says this is only a poem. He laughs. I think he is laughing. So, and this really quick little poem, I like this one. Why some people be mad at me sometimes? They ask me to remember, but they want me to remember their memories, and I keep on remembering mine.
I love how you put that.
I know, 'cause I could feel that. Like, yeah, I have dealt with people who just have selective memory and, only remember the stuff that makes them look good. And you're like, and they like to remember things like entirely different, like you didn't do anything. And you're like, no, I remember this, 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 and that. And they're like, yeah. So I was like, girl, you're preaching. You're preaching, Lucille. Gosh, she was so amazing. Do you think that she got as much recognition in her lifetime as she deserved?
No, I feel like I'm always surprised when someone else, and it could be me because I also considered her my own private like poet. It's like no one else knows you like I do, Lucille Clifton. So when other people are like, "I love Lucille Clifton," and I'm like, "Shut up, you don't. You don't know her." But if she could have, I feel like she, I don't think, I think she could have gotten more. I think she should have gotten more, but I don't know what that would look, you know what I'm saying? I don't know what that would look like.
She may not have wanted more, nor more fame than she already got. I don't know.
Right. She didn't, when I saw her at a reading, she didn't seem like that type of person. You know what I'm saying? Like, could I see her doing the Maya Angelou stuff? I don't know. Like, not that I don't know, but the answer is no.
Yeah. Yeah.
I can't see her on commercials. I can't see her sitting across from Oprah. And those aren't necessarily bad things. I'm not shading Angela. I have a best friend that if she heard this, she would kick my ass. I'm not, but I think part of Lucille Clifton's whole thing was quietness. And it's hard to be quiet and be super famous.
Yeah. She just seems like the type of person who wanted to hang out with her friends, raise her children, see her grandchildren, write her some poems and just, live her life. She wasn't trying to be, the bestseller. I'm sure she would not be mad at being like a New York Times bestseller or whatever like that, but yeah, she just wanted to live her life and write her poems. But her poems are awesome and they spoke for so many people. That it kind of like she kind of had a way of like writing a poem that was, basically about her, but it was something that could be made universal. So, that's a nice trick if you can have it. Okay, I just want to read one more. Just one more. I like this one called Roots. Call it our craziness, even. Call it anything. It is the life thing in us that will not let us die. Even in death's hand, we fold the fingers up and call them greens and grow on them. We hum them and make music. We call it our wildness then. We are lost from the field of flowers. We become a field of flowers. We call it our craziness, our wildness. Call it our roots. It is the light in us. It is the light of us. It is the light. Call it whatever you have to. Call it anything. So, it's like just speaking to people's resilience, I guess. And I would think even, just calling it roots, I think she was talking about Black people's resilience. If we're lost from the field of flowers, we'll just become a field of flowers. Who cares what you want to call it? Call it anything. But, this is what we do. It's the life thing in us that will not let us die. So, yeah. She was definitely the type of pro-Black that didn't make most white people uncomfortable, I would think. She was pro-Black, but not anti anything else. And I don't know, it just seemed like there was just so much love in her, and it comes out in her poems that, it's hard to find anything, any hate in it. So even when she's telling, even when she's wishing for sons to be in a small town with the last tampon. So, I mean, yeah, she just had a, there just seemed to be a whole bunch of love coming out of most of her poems. So that's just like a taste of Lucille Clifton. Did you want to read any others? I mean, some others that you want to read right now.
There's this one, but I just want to read the, because I love all parts of it, but the last part of it makes me laugh the most. I wanted to just read that last part.
Okay.
From The Wisdom of Sister Brown. It's a three-part poem. I can read all of it because it's not a Lucille Clifton poem. It's not long.
Yeah.
Three parts. Okay. One on sisterhood. Some of our sisters who put down the bucket looking for us to pick it up. Two on Lena, born June 30th, 1917. People talk about beautiful and look at Elizabeth Taylor. Lena just stand there smiling, a tricky smile. And three on the differences between Eddie Murphy and Richard Pryor. Eddie, he a young blood. He sees something funny in everything. Everything. Old Rich been around a long time. He know ain't nothing really funny. My favorite part of that is the last part. Like the last two lines, definitely.
So,
And also that Lucille Clifton had a poem where she referenced Eddie Murphy. Like, random as hell. Like, who thought? I would never
like she was born in 53. She passed away in 2010. So she saw a lot of stuff. She saw the civil rights movement. She saw us start to become post-racial. She saw Obama.
She did. Didn't she die on Valentine's Day?
Close to it. Let's see. Yep, she passed away on the 13th of February.
Okay. I remember reading about it on Valentine's Day.
Oh, look at her little face.
Yep.
So, wow, she wrote a lot of books. So her list of children's books is just as long as her list of poems, poetry books. But like I said before, that's just an idea, a little taste of the goodness that is Lucille Clifton. So if you've liked what you've heard in this episode, I suggest that you run to Amazon or Barnes and Noble online and order you some Lucille Clifton books because you will not be sorry. She was wonderful, and her poems are light and joy and sunshine and Nutella and everything good.
Definitely.
I want to thank my guest, Melissa, on Twitter. She is Black Girl Geeky anywhere, and you can also hear her every week on Nerdgasm Noir Network. And thank you very much for celebrating Lucille with me.
Thank you for inviting me.
And sorry, Sarah.
Yeah, sorry. Not getting this look back up. She even dated it. What? Maybe I did see her in March 20, 2000. I mean,
Retrace your steps, retrace your steps. When
my God, that
you
was
were there,
15 years
what
ago.
book?
I'm having a thing right now.
Okay.
I'm having a thing right now.
But do you remember what books you had with you when you went to the reading?
No, I thought I bought this at the reading, but I did not have money like that to just be buying books at readings. I mean, this book was $10. I'm sure I had $10, maybe.
Does that really stop you?
Nah, I
No.
probably borrowed it or something. I feel like she did, and this, even from 14 years ago, I'm sorry, it's just, at first, it's astounding me that this was 14 years ago. And then that the signature still looks fresh.
Well, it's good that you've taken care of the book. So, four for you. But okay. Well, it's yours now.
Is. Sorry. Sorry.
Right. I guess, before we start reading poems out loud all day, I guess we have to sign off. So, goodbye. Enjoy Lucille Clifton. Buy all her books. Take care.